Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 45 of the Sword of the Spirit podcast. I'm here this week with Pastor Stephen Anderson over at Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. Pastor Anderson, thanks a lot for doing this. I do really appreciate it. Obviously, I know that free time is hard to come by for you, so thanks for spending some of it here tonight with me on this podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's good to be here.
Well, I want to start off with, I guess, what would be the biggest piece of news involving your church since we last did a live stream, which would be, of course, S. Anderson 1611 getting taken down, unfortunately. Now, the glass half empty approach to this would be, you know, it was over 10 years of content. I believe, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but over 130,000 subscribers amassed over that time period. Optimism, the optimistic person, right, would think, well, you know what? Yeah, it got taken down, but you got a lot of mileage out of that channel. Thousands of people saved, including myself, by the way. Thousands of people got saved watching the sermons on there. So there's kind of two ways to look at it. But did you expect that it would happen when it did? The timing of it, is that something you expected? And what's your reaction to them just hitting the delete button and removing the channel?
Well, you know, I expected my channel to get deleted, and I'm actually just surprised that it lasted as long as it did. I mean, that's really the miracle, because it was up for 13 years, 135,000 subscribers, over 7,000 videos, literally like 1,500 years of content watched, you know, on the minutes watched section, if you go back all the way to when the channel started. And so the thing that surprised me about it wasn't that the channel got taken down, but how they took down all of my channels in one morning. Because I always expected that the main channel would get deleted and then I would just fall back on all these other channels that I have because they were on different emails, different phone numbers. But because they all said something like Stephen Anderson or Faithful Word Baptist Church in the name, they all got shut down the same morning. My main channel got shut down, and then like 2 hours later, the rest of them were shut down. It was a total of like 10 channels that got deleted. So that was the surprise, just that they deleted all of them. But there was one that they missed, and it was a channel that I hadn't uploaded anything to since 2014. And it didn't say anything about Stephen Anderson or Faithful Word in the name, and it had 3,500 subscribers. So at least that was something. So that's the channel that right now on YouTube is called Lee Baptist. So if people type in Lee Baptist, like a picture of an eclipse, and that is the channel. I mean, that was the only one that was left unto me.
Yeah, I'll get that on the screen here in a second. Is there any indication at all about whether you're banned as a personality, or is it just the channels you think they got rid of? Because I'm not sure if you're familiar, but Alex Jones, he got banned last year, and anyone who would re-upload his videos is in danger of getting their channel taken down as well. So is there any indication at all that they're trying to memory hole you as a person, or is it just the channels themselves?
Well, immediately that's how it felt, that it was me as a person, because of the fact that they deleted all my channels.
Right.
So that's what I figured. But a lot of people have been successfully re-uploading my stuff, and you know, there haven't really been any repercussions except people just getting strikes for particular videos. But, you know, as far as I know, a lot of people are uploading my sermons to a lot of channels, and I encourage people to do that. And, you know, they're not getting taken down. So I think if YouTube ever really wanted to just totally purge me from its site, they'd have to use, I guess, some kind of a voice recognition software, which I'm sure if they really wanted to, they could do that, where anybody who uploads with my voice would get taken down. But then I would just have to start using kind of a voice changing software. You know, there's always a workaround. There's always a way to do it. So
I don't know if you saw, but Pastor Mejia, he uploaded a video a while back talking about how his channel had received a strike. And then he said that one of his videos got taken down because it was too long. I don't know if I've ever seen that before.
No, this is what it is. Okay. It's because when you have, I think it's when your channel is a certain status, like let's say you have two strikes or whatever, then you can't upload videos over 15 minutes when you have two strikes.
Okay. That makes sense. All right.
I kind of had to laugh at that when he said that he got the one sermon removed for hate speech. And then he's like, the other one, they just said the sermon was too long. You know, I didn't think that YouTube was like this impatient church member just looking at their watch saying, all right, buddy, this sermon's gone way too long. Yeah. So no, it's just because he had two strikes. The 15-minute limit comes into play. Gotcha. It was funny, though.
It was hilarious, yeah. On the surface, you're thinking like, okay, are they starting to time the sermons here and getting impatient? But yeah, so there must have been, you know, something else involved, like you just explained there. So oh, yeah. Obviously, look, this is stuff you've dealt with for a long time. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And the reason why I even wanted to bring this up to you is because I've met a lot of people, especially in this movement, who they have testimonies of jobs getting lost. You know, a good friend of mine who goes to your church had that occur. You know, friends cutting off contact with them, even families who've cut them off because of their stand that they've taken for the cause of Christ. And I think that those people, when they see you and other men of God, for example, Pastor Roger Jimenez in 2016, when they see you guys go through the ringer, if you will, courtesy of the world, I think it can make them wax bold because of your experiences. And so I guess my question is, for people who are going through tough situations like that, where it's clearly a result of their faith, what tips would you offer for someone just to stay positive, right? Because I've met you a few times, okay? And every time I've noticed you're really positive. You're really positive. You're an optimistic person. Even though it seems like the whole world's against us, Pastor Anderson, how does somebody stay positive in that scenario?
Well, I think that just going through it over and over again, obviously you get better at dealing with things. Because I remember the first real major persecution that I went through back in 2009 was pretty hard. I was pretty distraught. I'd built up a fire alarm business and I lost like 90% of my customers in 1 month due to the haters making phone calls and just ruining my business. So I understand what that's like to lose a job, basically. And so obviously just experience helps, you know, you go through these things, you get through it. But I would say the biggest thing that helps me stay positive is I just focus on the positive things. You know, things that are negative, I just don't sit around thinking about them. And so, you know, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And I just spend a lot more time thinking about the good things in my life than the bad things. And there's everybody has a lot to be thankful for. You know, there are always a lot of good things going on, but sometimes our human nature is just to fixate on the bad things. So, you know, that's how you stay positive. You just focus on all the great things and just ignore the bad things. Just forget about, you know, it's corny, but I just have the serenity to accept the things that I can't change. So when things are out of my hands, when things are out of my control, then I just throw up my hands and say, hey, you know, whatever God's going to do here. And, you know, it's sort of like David, you know, after his baby dies, you know, he just sits down and eats and moves on with his life. And they said, you know, man, you were mourning and crying while it was alive. But now that it's dead, you eat, you anoint yourself. What's the deal? And, you know, basically what he was saying is, well, you know, it's over. There's nothing I can do.
Right.
You know, while the baby was alive, there was something that could change. There was hope. But after the baby was dead, he just realized, hey, you know, this is life. This is what God has chosen. And so I think that's the attitude you have to have, is just accept whatever comes your way. And also just take it one day at a time. You know, when I talk to people who are depressed or people who are just, you know, wanting to give up or quit, usually they always talk about long-term things like, I just don't know if I can do this for the rest of my life, or I just can't imagine what the next year is going to be like, or, oh, you know, this next month or whatever. You just have to take it one day at a time. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so I would say those are the main points that on how to stay positive and get through these things. Number one, do it over and over again. You get the experience and you realize this too shall pass. You know, number two is you focus on all the good things, all the positive things. You count your blessings and just don't spend a lot of time thinking about the negative stuff. And number three, you take life one day at a time.
Well, one thing I've had to do as well, because just excluding the persecution for standing on the word of God is all the bad news out there. Every time you even look at the news for a second, it's so depressing. You've got Black Lives Matter going crazy. You've got COVID-19. You have all these things going on. And it's coming to a head, it seems like, right now leading into the election. And if you obsess over that, and look, I've been a guy that has for years really paid very close attention to current events and news. And it tends to make me a very angry person. I don't want to be angry all the time. You know what I mean? I want to enjoy my life. And so I think you talked about it yesterday in your sermon, but every once in a while, what are your thoughts on, hey, let's just unplug for a little bit. You know, we don't need to check Drudge every single day. We don't need to check, I don't know, Fox News, whatever. Because I think if you obsess over that too much, it really could lead to you being angry 24/7. And that's not, you know, a lot of the pastors I've met, especially in this movement, they're not angry all the time. Yeah, you rip face behind the pulpit, but you guys are not constantly angry. And that's actually a misconception. People think that you're going to be angry all the time just because they see you preaching and things of that nature. But it could make you pissed off, for lack of a better term, all the time, focusing on that constantly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 99% of the time during the week, I'm not angry at all. And part of the reason is because I decided a long time ago, I don't want to be an angry person. You know, the Bible says that I should not be an angry man. Now, that doesn't mean that anger doesn't have its place, but I don't want to be characterized by anger on a regular basis. You know, I remember back in 2010 when the TSA regulations first changed, and I had a couple really bad experiences at the airport. And I just decided to just quit flying because it was making me mad. Having to deal with the TSA and the groping and all the weird things. It was just, that was like the worst period when it first came out in 2010. And it just made me so mad. I just decided, you know what? I don't want to keep getting mad like this. So I'm just going to remove the cause of my anger. And I just restructured my business a little bit and just stopped flying. And I didn't start flying again until about 4 years later when I was able to get the TSA pre-check and bypass a lot of that stuff.
Right.
But yeah, you have to, sources of anger in your life, sometimes you just have to remove them because we don't always have the self-control to just not get mad all the time. And so, you know, that's like I was saying in my sermon yesterday, blocking toxic people, you know, people who send me toxic text messages and phone calls and emails, you know, I block that person so that I don't even get those messages that are negative like that. And you know, like I said, just, you know, things, situations that I know get me really mad, I avoid them, you know, and sometimes somebody will want to show me a certain news article or something. And I know that it's going to make me mad. I just tell them, hey, don't show me that because it makes me too mad. I don't want to read about that. I don't want to hear about this. It makes me too mad. You know, let's talk about something else.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people, they don't understand this concept. So they're just indulging in it all day, every day. It's just throughout the day. They're getting all the news on coronavirus, all the news on Black Lives Matter, all the worst things. And there's always all this horrible stuff going on in the world. But you know what? If you just unplug from it for a few days, all you see is just sunshine, birds are chirping, and just beautiful sunsets every night here in Arizona. And it's just like, you know, you just open your Bible and read it, and you spend time with your family, and just the world goes on without you. You don't have to watch it all happen. So
you still running?
Yeah, I haven't run lately just because I hurt my foot a few weeks ago. But I typically have been running, not as much as I used to, just because I've been really busy with other things. But I've been doing a lot of just like 3 mile runs and stuff. But lately, because I hurt my foot a few weeks ago, I've been doing a lot of bicycle rides. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I've been having fun with that. It's really hot here, but you can still run and you can still ride your bike. The secret is you just have to just get soaking wet. So like I'll put on just like a cotton shirt and a pair of swim trunks and I just jump in the pool and then I go on my bike ride. And then like 45 minutes later, I'm just dry as a bone because it's so hot.
Right.
But during that 45 minutes, like it's like an air conditioner, you know, blowing through me. And then I'll just stop at whatever the drinking fountain or a gas station or something, just dump water, just get totally drenched again and keep on going. So you can actually do outdoor stuff in the city here. You just have to stay soaking wet and then you can handle the 104 degrees or whatever it is.
Right.
So I've been doing that for recreation.
Yeah, and I know it's something you talked about as well. I think you even did a video a while ago about barefoot running and things of that nature. The reason why I bring it up is because you have other interests, right? I mean, people, when they Google your name, they think, and other pastors too, they think all you ever talk about is the sodomites, just 24/7, that you're just obsessed with that issue, or that's what the news would portray it as, that that's all we ever talk about. But you have a lot of other interests, and really, what is it, maybe 2%? I talked to Matt Powell about this. What is it, 2% of the content that's even produced by your church?
Yeah.
You know, you're preaching the whole counsel of God. Go ahead if you want to add anything to this. But
yeah, I mean, anybody who actually listens to my preaching knows that that's not a major theme of my preaching. That's something that I don't talk about all the time. It's something that I talk about comparatively little to other things. And so, you know, look at my sermons yesterday, you know, and I really strive to give a balanced diet. I do a lot of positive preaching and uplifting preaching. It's not only is it not all ripping on homos or something, but it's also not all negative. There's right. a lot of positive preaching. And do I have other interests? Absolutely. You know, I like to exercise and do that. That's part of just how I stay sane and just stay healthy and stuff like that. But also, you know, lately I've been studying math and science a lot, just because, you know, I'm hoping in the next couple of years, maybe like 1 or 2 years from now, to come out with some really major science stuff, you know, related to the Bible. But I, you know, first I need to do the study and learn everything.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
enjoy that.
And the thing is, obviously there are a lot of people I've met who've gotten saved because they saw the news article that said you were banned from a certain country. I do think there are others, though, who look at that and then they're just totally turned off and they won't listen. They just shut their ears and eyes and won't listen. And I think it's a shame, because if they actually did their research, Pastor, they would find out that that's not all you talk about, and they'd actually learn something, perhaps.
But here's the way I see it. You know, it doesn't bother me that some people are going to be turned away by seeing those news articles, because I know a lot of people are going to be intrigued by that. It's going to make them want to listen to me more. So that's basically the people that I'm reaching. And as far as the people that would be turned away by that, there are a whole bunch of other preachers for them to listen to. I'm not the only preacher in the world. You know, God doesn't expect me to reach every person single-handedly. So I don't have to somehow tailor my persona or my message to reach everyone. You know, I'm basically going to reach the people that God has for me to reach. And I think that I'm reaching a certain segment of people that wouldn't otherwise be reached, you know, by getting banned from all these countries and doing some of the wild things that I've done. And, you know, there are lots of other vanilla pastors to reach, you know, other kinds of people. You know, God's going to use everybody for his purpose, you know, whatever he's got in mind.
Well, I think if you're a young person growing up, whether you're in this movement or not, if you're perhaps just a listener online or whatever, and you're a younger person, to me, I think it's abundantly clear that in 2020, believing the whole Bible and standing for the truth is what would constitute quote unquote rebellion. It's what's quote cool today. So the reason I bring that up is I think all of this can be leveraged for good, is my point, especially with that younger crowd, to show them, hey, getting into sin and wickedness and worldliness is what that's establishment. That's what the establishment wants. Being a Bible believing Christian, especially right now, is actually sort of like a counterculture. What do you think of that?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's rebellion, you know, and you know, young rebellious teens and young people, they like the preaching because it's rebellious and edgy, because of the fact that our society is so weird that being normal and being a straight-laced, conservative, born-again Christian is now the most radical thing that you could do. It's like I've said before, Faithful Word is like the punk rock of Baptist churches. And but here's the thing about that, you know, there's a good side to that and a downside of that.
Sure.
The good side is that we're able to reach a lot of young people and kind of channel that natural kind of rebellion that they have at that age into something good, so that they don't rebel by going out and doing a bunch of wicked things and sin and you know, get a tattoo, get drunk, take drugs, whatever. You know, we're actually channeling that towards something good. But then the negative side is that some people who are reached because of all the excitement and the edgy kind of just rebelling against this world and everything like that. Some of the people, they don't really actually come because they love the Lord in the, well, I'll put it this way. You know, you reach people with that, and some of them actually, you know, they come for the excitement and they stay for the doctrine and they stay for their love for Christ and they stay for the Word of God. But then other people, all they are is a rebel. And then basically, next thing you know, they're rebelling against the Lord. They're rebelling against our church. They're rebelling, and they're just kind of moving from rebellion to rebellion because that's just how they are. Yeah. So it's kind of a two-edged sword. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think also with the conspiracy crowd, because this movement has reached a lot of them, and then all of a sudden the new IFB becomes the conspiracy. You know what I mean? Because they're always thinking with that mindset, with that attitude.
But it is what it is, you know? I mean, you got to take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you have this kind of exciting, edgy, getting arrested, getting thrown out of countries, you know, standing up to the establishment, then yeah, you're going to reach a ton of people, you're going to get a bunch of people saved, you're going to reach a lot of people that would not otherwise be reached, but then you also end up bringing in people that are just rebellious by nature, and then you end up having problems. But you know what? At the end of the day, all of the junk that I've had to deal with and all of the bad things and you know, when the dust all settles, when it's all over, tons of people got saved.
Right. So it was worth it.
And tons of lives were changed and a whole bunch of people grew in the Lord. And there's a net positive impact that has been made on the Independent Fundamental Baptist as a whole. You know, more soul winning has happened. Better preaching has happened. More people have taken better stands. And so at the end of the day, you know, it's all worth it because, you know, when all the dust settles, the people that got saved are still going to be saved. And there's always going to be the righteous remnant and the bozos come and go. But that, to me, that's just a necessary evil of being in the ministry, is you're going to have the Judases and the bozos, and God said it would happen. I mean, he said that there are going to be people who just preach Christ of envy and strife, and all they want is the contention. They're just there for the battle. But Paul basically just said, well, hey, Christ is preached. I don't care why they're here. You know, it is what it is. And look at the Apostle Paul. How did he end his life? All they which are in Asia have turned away from me. But was he a failure? Because everybody turned away from him? No. Because everything that he did, all the good works that he did still remained. And he was able to say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. So things are going to get ugly sometimes. People are going to stab you in the back, turn on you, forsake you. They did it to the Apostle Paul all day long. But at the end of the day, he's a success. And so that's all we can hope for, is just do as much good as we can. Fight the battles. It is what it is.
Absolutely. I remember there was a guy at Steadfast Jack's, turned out to be a complete bozo idiot, but he showed up because he watched Marching to Zion, and he thought every sermon was going to be about the Jews. Just every single sermon was just Jew, 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 Jew. So sometimes those are the bad apples. They come in, they think that everything's just going to be a constant, just sodomite sermon or whatever, not understanding that, hey, now it's time to love the Lord. Now it's time to learn doctrines, accept practical application into your life, listen to sermons on marriage, love, etc. But, you know, there's good and bad, and you covered that.
Yeah, and it's always a red flag whenever anybody's obsessed with any issue.
Sure.
Even if it's a positive issue, not even just if it's something negative. If all they want to talk about is the King James, all they want to talk about is, you know, creationism, all they want to talk about is the sodomites, all they want to talk about is this or that or the other, that's always a red flag because it's imbalanced. You know, people who actually love the Lord, they love the whole Bible. They love all of it. These other people that are obsessed with one issue, it's not necessarily that they really love the Lord. It's just they love that one issue.
Yeah, and so if they're not going to get preaching on that one issue every single week, they'll be gone. And sure enough, that's what happened with this guy I'm thinking of. And obviously, Steadfast Jack's had its own problems back then. Like half the church was horrible. But anyway, let's move on. Faithful Word Baptist Church, there's never a dull moment in a lot of our churches. And that's definitely true for your church. You released Antichrist Kanye West recently. And I think, was this a Chris Segura film?
Oh yeah, I mean, you should be able to recognize his style.
I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but
okay, yeah, but, seen it. Yeah, it was definitely a Chris Segura production. I think he did a fantastic job. You know, I loved it.
And so, moving forward, are we going to see this more? I believe isn't this the second one he's done? Was there San Francisco as well? So it looks like
It's just, you know, here's the thing. I mean, it's kind of frustrating making these documentaries right now, simply because of the fact that they don't really do what they used to do because of the way YouTube has become. So it's just not the same YouTube anymore. It's like, you know, I felt like Brother Segura just really nailed it on both the San Francisco film and on this film. But anytime these films start to get any traction, YouTube just kind of shuts it down. And so like the Kanye film, we uploaded that and then, you know, less than 24 hours later had over 6,000 views just on that one upload, which is pretty good for uploading it on a side channel, you know, over 6,000 views in one day. But then it was just like YouTube was just always finding some way to quash it or slow it down or ruin it. Even back when we came out with Babylon USA, that thing was going crazy. It was getting like 5,000-6,000 views a day, even like 2 months in, and it was picking up speed. And it, you know, it had a few hundred thousand views. It was going crazy. And then they, YouTube just put an age restriction on it, just killed it.
Yeah.
So, because once they age restrict it, it doesn't show up the same way as suggestion or anything. So then it went from getting like, you know, 5,000-6,000 views consistently every day to getting like 100 or 200 views. So it's kind of frustrating to put a ton of work into one video and then you can't really get it off the ground the way you used to be able to. So we may probably just focus more for a while on just, you know, shorter videos and other things, because it's just these documentaries. Well, you know, because you've worked on them, they take so much
working
time.
On one now.
They take a lot of time.
Absolutely, yeah. We're trying to get the Sodomite Deception done at Steadfast, okay. And you're right, it does take a long time. I also think though that YouTube changed their algorithms with respect to the search engine.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So it's a lot harder for people to find it organically.
How about the suggested videos? It used to be that if someone's watching one of my sermons, then the next thing it would roll into would be like another one of my sermons or a sermon by Pastor Jimenez or something related. Now, just every single time they finish a Pastor Anderson sermon and it's like it wants them to watch a Joel Osteen or it wants them to watch John MacArthur or it wants them to watch John Hagee. I don't know if you've noticed that, yeah. But the suggested videos now, it only pushes just the televangelist types, and it does not anymore actually just give them related content. And it's just the more time goes by, it's hard. Like, I don't believe that I will ever be able to duplicate the success of the Sanderson 1611 channel if I keep doing the same thing that I'm doing now, because of the fact that YouTube's not the same YouTube as when I started out in 2007. And so trying to start now and rebuild that level of a channel, I don't think it's going to be possible with the current YouTube. But here's the thing. I still think that the greatest days of Faithful Word are ahead, and my greatest days are ahead. But that's because I'm going to be constantly trying new ideas. I'm learning new things. I'm studying things I've never studied. I'm making plans for new things, new media, and because I don't want to just, you know, keep trying to ride on the past or something. And I just feel like if I just try to redo what I've already done, it's not going to work because things have changed. So, you know, I feel like we have to constantly be adapting and coming up with new ideas, new approaches, new methods, because, you know, we've got to stay cutting edge or we'll just kind of become the old IFB, where we're still like, you know, putting sermons on a cassette and charging $5 for them or something. So,
well, here's my last question, then I'll let you go. Any plans or any current events or upcoming events, rather, that you wanted to plug that's going to be going down later this year at Faith Forward? I know COVID-19 has thrown a monkey wrench into everything. There's a certain conference I was looking forward to going to in October. Is that still the plan? Anything you wanted to share?
You know, I'm not buying any green bananas, because, you know, things are just so unpredictable and the COVID-19 is just shutting everything down. And here's the thing. If the election has anything to do with some of the craziness that's been going on, which I think most people would probably agree that there's something to do with the election here. You know, whatever you believe about coronavirus, but when you look at the coronavirus itself, the response to coronavirus, the rioting and looting and all that craziness, it just seems hard to believe that it's all just a coincidence when Trump would have just for sure won. I mean, he was going to win by a landslide before all this happened. But now all this is happening. I still think he's probably going to win, but we know that there are a lot of people who don't want him to win, and there are all these different forces at work behind the scene. And I don't really have a dog in that fight. But my point being, if the election has anything to do with some of the things that are going on this year, then logic would tell us that it's not going to get better anytime soon because the election is not till November. So, you know, if you were trying to sabotage Donald Trump or whatever you're trying to do, whatever you're trying to foment, you know, if anything, you'd ramp that up in August and September. So, you know, if I had to guess, I would say that October is going to be a wild month. I don't know if it's going to be another wave of coronavirus. I don't know if it's going to be rioting and looting and burning it all down, or probably things that we haven't even thought of yet, because it's not like we saw any of this coming. Okay. So I think a lot of wild things are probably going to happen in October. So, you know, I'm not planning mission trips or anything, because, you know, every mission trip that I had planned for this year so far has been canceled. The airlines canceled my flights to, we were supposed to do missions in Samoa. We were going to do missions in Cyprus. Airlines canceled my flights and everything. So what I'm thinking about doing for the MASA conference, because of the fact that I just think there's a very slim chance that travel and everything's going to be normal by then, what I'm thinking that we're probably going to do is just have like a kind of like a virtual conference, like a MASA weekend. So basically, you know, no matter what happens on that weekend, I'm going to preach a bunch of sermons ripping face about the homos. And then what I was going to do is just encourage all my pastor friends and people everywhere else to do the same thing. And then maybe we could all, you know, live stream them to a particular website. Obviously, YouTube isn't going to go for that. But we could, you know, put it all in one place, like a one-stop shop for the online conference. But as far as physically inviting a ton of people to come to Faithful Word, it's probably not a smart idea for that time. But I will say this, you know, anybody who's already booked their flight or they already made plans, I mean, come on down, you know, because there's going to be preaching. There's going to be, you know, just at our church. But I just don't think we're going to do it as a conference.
Understood. All right. Well, I might still show up, so we'll see.
Do it.
Pastor Anderson, thanks a lot for doing this. I do really appreciate it. Anything else you wanted to say before I let you go?
No, that's it. I just appreciate you having me on. It's good talking to you.
All right. Well, you enjoy the rest of your night, and I'll talk to you again sometime in the future.
Thank you.
All right. That's Pastor Anderson. Folks, thanks for tuning in, everybody, to hear that interview. Let me read some comments from the chat and see if there's any good ones here. We've got a Bible verse here. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I like that verse a lot. That is good. And what else do we have here? This person says the enforcement of the social distancing law stopped us from soul winning here in Canada for several months. That sucks. Let's see, what else do we have in the chat room? A lot of people just sort of talking amongst each other. And this person says, it's actually suggesting me right now, Duffy, the child preacher from Oprah. Not sure if I've ever heard of that person. But yeah, it's definitely, when you're watching a video, it's giving you suggested preachers and suggested videos that have nothing to do with what you just watched, for the purpose of removing that organic element of having people basically watch a whole bunch of content from the exact same channel. This person says, John MacArthur is an unsaved reprobate, minister of Satan. Satan's ministers appear as ministers of righteousness. Well, tell me how you really think. That was MG in the chat room. This person says, I got saved in the old days because YouTube autoplayed basic soul-winning trans... I just lost the message. Basic soul winning presentation. And let's see, what else do we have? Do you know if the new S. Anderson 1611 channel will work for people using the old YouTube cards? Well, Pastor Anderson's gone right now, so I can't answer that. But I will say this. No. That's my opinion. I think those YouTube cards with S. Anderson 1611 are obsolete right now. And I think that you either have to make new ones that say Lee Baptist or just stop using it. Now, if somebody has a differing opinion in the chat room, you can go ahead and share it. But that's what I think, that it just, you can't use it because, unfortunately, if you were to type in S. Anderson 1611 at this stage, it's really bad. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get is my point. You don't know what you're going to get. It could be horrifying. I mean, let's go ahead and... Let me do this. I'm not going to put it on the screen, but I want to just search for my own just entertainment here. Yeah, I mean, if you search S. Anderson 1611, you get his USA Today interview, which is good. But, and then you have a troll channel. It's really not worth it. You do have a lot of the re-uploaded channels, but the Bible Way to Heaven doesn't appear. So that's my opinion. Obviously, people can have differing views on that. I won't be mad at anyone if they do. You can share that in the chat room if you'd like. This person says, Ben, what's your opinion on the political spectrum? I think both the left and the right are terrible sometimes. I think the right is worse because they support militarism, but the left supports degeneracy. Well, I mean, this is kind of off topic, but I'll answer the question. Democrats and Republicans play ball for the exact same team, and they are... basically, you know, they're corrupt. Both of them are corrupt. They prostitute themselves to the same exact corporate lobbyists and special interests. I do think in general there are elements of the right that are way better than the left, specifically the more libertarian types like, you know, Rand Paul or, you know, people like that. Definitely way better. But in general, there's no hope politically. So if that's what you're hoping to achieve is some sort of political revolution, well, it's not going to happen because there's absolutely no hope in the political sphere, unfortunately. But that's pretty much going to do it for the show. A little bit shorter this week, but I didn't want to take too much of Pastor Anderson's time. I will say this, in response to actually his sermon, Pastor Anderson's sermon that he preached yesterday over at his church, you know, the Bible says in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, sort of a famous verse here. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now here's the thing. If you set it in your minds to love the Lord Jesus Christ and to memorize his word and to read his word, you know, and for God's law not to depart out of your mouth, okay? The missing ingredient for a lot of people, is the point I'm trying to make, is love. And we talked about here on this podcast with Pastor Anderson a few minutes ago about the persecution that Bible-believing Christians will go through. And oftentimes that persecution stems from the fact that friends and family members, especially if they're unsaved, don't seem to understand why it is that you, if you love God, they don't seem to understand why you love God. They don't seem to understand why you enjoy going to church. They don't seem to understand why you enjoy perhaps making documentaries or going to mission trips or going to conferences or watching sermons online on the internet, even when you're not physically going to church. On your regular Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night schedule, there are people who listen to sermons throughout the week, people who read the Bible for an hour a day, people who memorize scripture, who study the Bible so they can learn more doctrine and share that with their friends at church. The carnal mind, the Bible of course says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. The carnal mind does not comprehend this. And so those who don't love God, and especially those who aren't saved, tend to not understand why it is that God's people love the Lord and the things of God. They don't understand it whatsoever. They don't understand how it's possible for you to love church attendance so much. It's a foreign concept, but here's the thing. Although it might seem like we're alone, although it might seem like we are just completely isolated in the sense that no one agrees, that's not true. yes, there is a remnant, for sure. It is a remnant. It's not an overwhelming majority. But even in Elijah's day, God reminded him that 7,000 men have not bowed the knee to Baal. And I think that's true. As wicked as this world continues to get, I think it's true in 2020 that there are 7,000 men who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. And I spoke to one of them tonight, Pastor Anderson, but there are others as well. You've got Pastor Bruce Mejia. You've got Pastor Jonathan Shelley, Pastor Grayson Fritz, Pastor Roger Jimenez, and many others out there, many other pastors and church members as well who are faithful to church who have not bowed the knee to Baal. It's the agenda of Satan to make you feel as if you're alone and totally isolated when that's not the case. So what we need to be focused on is continuing to walk in the Spirit. Colossians 3 says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Christ is our life. Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. And you know what? If it weren't for him, we would all go to hell. We're trusting in him for salvation, but we're also trusting him in other areas in our life to feed us, to clothe us, to make sure that we can always provide for our families and in other areas too. But my point is that, Jesus Christ is our life, and we shouldn't be ashamed of that. We shouldn't be ashamed that our lives revolve around the Word of God, that our lives revolve around serving Jesus. And I've met people who've moved across the country to go to a church, and I've met other people who have done even more sacrifices than that to be able to serve the Lord. And those people, you know, they're going to go through shaming, they're going to go through affliction and persecution and things of that nature. But the one thing we can never forget is that we're not alone. There are other brothers and sisters in Christ with us. And if your friends or your family decide to cast you aside, well, Jesus warned us that this would happen. And he said that, hey, your foes will be they of your own household. So we've been warned about this in the Word of God. If it occurs to you, then recognize the Lord's able to give thee much more than this. You've got a spiritual family that's willing to take you in. But I just want to say thank you to everyone who listened in the chat room. And, I really appreciate you guys tuning in to check out Pastor Anderson's interview here on the podcast. It's always a pleasure to get a chance to catch up with him, and I look forward to doing it sometime again in the future. But if this is your first time listening to the live stream, you can check it out every Monday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and 6 p.m. Pacific. I forgot one time zone. That would be Mountain, and it would be 7 p.m. Mountain Time. So I'm giving you all the different time zones there. 3 a.m. in Japan. I'm just kidding. I don't know what it is in Japan. But folks, you can tune in every Monday night to this live stream if you'd like more content and more podcasts like this, where I do periodically reach out to some guests, whether they're pastors or not, to just highlight their stories. I want to end with a push to subscribe to Lee Baptist. That is one of his channels. Lee Baptist is the place to go if you want to hear Pastor Anderson's new sermons. I'll put it on the screen one more time. There it is, Lee Baptist. Make sure you subscribe there, and you can check out Pastor Anderson's new sermons. It, unfortunately slipped my mind to ask him about some of the other channels that he has going, but that's the main one, Lee Baptist, right there on your screen if you're watching on YouTube. But I'm going to wrap it up now. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. As usual, I do appreciate the support. So for Pastor Anderson, this is Brother Ben Naim signing off. You can subscribe to this channel by just hitting that red button directly under the video. And also, it'll be 10 a.m. in Tokyo, according to Trade Selector in the chat room. So thank you to Trade Selector. And also, youtube.com/BenTheBaptist. The archive of this podcast is at BenTheBaptistKJV.com. Until next time, God bless you all. I will talk to you guys again next Monday.